just, you know, through the course of August, obviously, we've had a change in market sentiment. It's more focused on central banks having to return to being more aggressive to get on top of the inflation problem they're facing. And that's essentially been the story of what's happened through the last couple of weeks. And the market now trying to find, you know, where interest rates are going to top out. Where's the top for the settings for these interest rate structures? And so, you know, that's the prism looking at the data through these days. And last week, the data out of the United States, you get the odd soft piece of data, but much of it's holding up. And so, for example, you know, a leading indicator like the ISM Manufacturing Purchasing Managers Index, that's still holding there pretty comfortably in the low 50s. We had a reading of 52.8 for August. That was the same as July. You know, it was expected that that might be starting to come down, but it's still in expansionary territory. And the lagging indicators and the key ones, like the labour market data, still very, very strong. We had non-farm payrolls came out on Friday, and they were up another 315,000 for non-farm payrolls. That was after 526,000 outsized increase going back the month before. And they're still getting good wage increases because it's still a very tight labour market over there. Average hourly earnings were up another 0.3% month on month. That kept the annual rate of change for wages at 5.2% year on year. So, you know, without any softness coming through in the labour market part of things, and with still this strength running through some of these leading indicators, the Fed has no option. It nailed its colours to the mast at Jackson Hole, said, look, you know, we've got to fight inflation, but do whatever it takes. And whatever it takes is sort of slipping away from it. It's getting more and more over time. So, you know, this is a sort of risk that's running through financial markets until we see some sort of pullback starting to run through. Now, having said that, you know, we're not going to get an awful lot more information the Fed over the course of this next week. In fact, it's the week after when we start to get CPI data. And then beyond that, when we get to the next Fed meeting, you start to get a bit more information. Over this next week, we start with a holiday anyway. It's Labor Day in the US for Monday. And we do have one or two pieces of information. We've got, for example, the non-manufacturing PMI comes out for the month of August. That comes out on Tuesday night. And that one was strong last month. It was at 56.7. Expected to be 55.5 for the current month. So that one's still very much holding up there, very much sort of saying that that has to do more rather than less. Just moving to other places, China last week, and exactly the opposite there. it's this wretched residual cough. The manufacturing PMI in China is below 50. It was 49 going back the month before. It lifted slightly to 49.4 for the official PMI. But the cakes in manufacturing PMI was at 50.4 going back the month before to July. That came down to 49.5 for the most recent month. So we've got some weakness running through the Chinese economy, and Shenzhen in the south of the country is just going back into COVID lockdown again. This is the way that China's tackling their problem over there when they get new infections. And that means that we've still got some soft growth ahead of us. They still really haven't resolved many of the problems running through trying to contain the property construction sector, in the sense that the policies they put in place have now got most of those property companies in collapse. And there's no real change to that for the time being. So we've got some very, very soft elements running for the Chinese economy for the time being. This week, we'll get the services PMI coming out. This one was okay-ish going back to the previous month at 55.5. It's expected to be 55 for the most recent month. We've also got trade data coming out. And the trade data, we've got August exports coming out. In July, exports were quite strong. They were up 18% year on year. And the strongest part of the Chinese economy, paradoxically at the moment, is actually their export sector. Most of the domestic parts of the Chinese economy are quite weak. And so that's still expected to be up about 13% for the most recent month. Imports, on the other hand, which are a sort of measure of domestic demand, they're actually coming back. They were up only 2.3% year-on-year, going back to the month of July. They expect to come down to about 1.8% year-on-year because there's not that much demand inside the domestic economy in China at the moment. And we still have this softness running ahead as far as China's concerned. The inflation rate, different from the rest of the world, nowhere near as high. So that gives some flexibility for them to continue easing monetary policy. The August CPI comes out this week on Friday. It's expected to lift to 2.8% from 2.7%. And producer prices, if anything, are expected to come back a touch to 3.1% from 4.2% year-on-year. Very, very different, those sorts of prices, compared with everything else that's happening internationally, where mostly those price levels are still very, very firm. As far as Australia is concerned, well, we've got the RBA on Tuesday, we've got GDP numbers coming up on Wednesday, we've got a number of other indicators as well. But going back last week, we saw that we still got a lot of residual strength through our economy too. It's one of the reasons why the Reserve Bank has to continue delivering quite large interest rate hikes. They need to deliver another 50 basis points at the meeting this week. One of the reasons is that parts of demand here are just not weakening. We've got weakness in the most interest rate sensitive part of demand, that's housing. So if we look at the housing indicators, we had two of those came out last week. We had July home building approvals. We also had July home loans came out. July home building approvals fell by 17.2% month on month. So that was way weaker than expected. And the housing construction industry is beset by problems of getting materials and also issues of fixed price contracts, all these sorts of things, which are, if anything, sort of reducing that supply of housing. July home loans had their biggest single monthly fall in 20 years. So they were expected to be down by 3% in value. These are home loan commitments. They were down by 8.5%. And that was after a 4.4% fall the month before. So higher interest rates, higher mortgage rates are really cutting into the demand for home loans at this stage. And that in turn is feeding through into pretty rapid reduction in house prices and prices at which people are prepared to offer because they're being restricted on the amounts they can actually borrow now. We've got house prices which are declining now at their fastest pace month on month in 40 years. So we've got quite sharp falls running through those, and we're likely to see further considerable weakness running through the housing sector over the course of the next few months. But the Reserve Bank really can't take too much notice because people are still spending up a storm in things like retail sales. So we had July retail sales came out. Market consensus was 0.3% month on month. It came in at 1.3% month on month. And the year-on-year change on retail sales is 16.5% year-on-year. That's the strongest ever seen in this survey. So people are spending like there's no tomorrow, and that demand has to come back. That's what monetary policy is supposed to do. It's supposed to dampen that demand, which in turn dampens inflation. But at the moment, the biggest chunk of spending in Australia is racing ahead as people continue to spend furiously there. So that's the conundrum that faces the Reserve Bank. The most interest rate sensitive part, housing, certainly coming back, but the big spending tickets, spending items, retail sales, still very, very strong. We had some quarterly indicators last week, construction work done for the second quarter. Unsurprisingly, that's down And it's mostly residential construction that's down. It was down 3.8% quarter on quarter. That follows a revised 0.3% quarter four going back to Q1. We had Q2 private new capital expenditure. That was also down at the same pace as it was in Q1, down 0.3% after being down 0.3% the quarter before. Big difference in contributions, though. Building CapEx was down 2.5% quarter on quarter in Q2. Plant and machinery CapEx was up 2.1%. So, you know, that's actually going to make a reasonable contribution to GDP this week when we get the Q2 GDP read come out on Wednesday. We also had the third estimate of CapEx spending by businesses for 2022-23, current financial year. The second, it's up compared with the second estimate by 11.2%, so it's actually pretty healthy. It's up at $146.6 billion. So it suggests that business capital investment spending is running pretty strongly. The other thing we had, of course, last week was the job summit. It's a mixed bag in many ways. In part, it was hijacked by the union movement wanting to move away from enterprise bargaining agreements towards patent bargaining across industry sectors. They've got commitment to that from the government. A lot of resistance, though, from employers, because it is, in some ways, a return to the wage settings that we had going back through the 70s and 80s. And so, you know, that does have the capacity to make the Reserve Bank's job getting on top of medium-term inflation a lot harder. But you know, also we had some other initiatives inside, you know, the lifting of the amount that older people can earn before they can, their government concessions are hit. That will add a little bit into the labour force. And also a commitment to lift the immigration by to 185,000 a year. Just to put that into some sort of context, we were missing through the pandemic about 500,000 overseas workers. So it will help a bit over time. And they still have to put a rocket up the people who are actually providing the visas in the overseas offices, because that's what's holding people back from getting over here. So, it was sort of had its good points and its bad points, but certainly it's not going to be all that helpful as far as the Reserve Bank is concerned. This week, the RBA has its meeting the day before Q2 GDP comes out. Q2 GDP still looks pretty strong here. It looks as if it's going to be up about 1.2%. That will see an acceleration in the annual rate of growth from 3.3% to 3.8% year on year. Strong contributions from retail spending and also net exports and probably government spending as well. So, you know, those are the factors which are going to give us quite a strong GDP result. We get some other indicators coming out this week ahead of the Reserve Bank meeting. Today we'll get ANZ job ads. These are still very, very high. They just started to fade a little last month, down by 1.1%, still up something like 60% year on year. We get the inflation gauge coming out, which should be an interesting one. Last month, inflation gauge went up 1.2% just in 1 month. So it'd be interesting to see what it shows for this most recent month. We'll get an idea then what the Q2 CPI is going to look like when that comes out. The Q3 CPI is going to look like when that comes out at the end of October. So we'll get some sort of indication on that. We also today get business inventories, company profits. Company profits are still very, very strong. And the RBA on Tuesday, at this stage, it looks as if they'll do another 50. And it won't be the last of the interest rate increases, so that would take the cash rate up to 2.35% from 1.85%. And they're not the only central bank which is meeting this week. So we also have the ECB meeting on Thursday. And last month, they were the last central bank to still have a minus sign on one of their official rates. They took that to zero at their last meeting. And it looks as if they'll do another 50 basis points there, which will take their cash rate up to 0.5%. So yeah, we have quite a number of central banks which are producing pretty aggressive interest rate increases for the time being. And so yeah, that's going to keep some pressure, negative pressure inside financial markets. Any other data out of Europe? We had their preliminary CPI came out last week, and that went to a new record high for them in the euro era, going back to 1999. The inflation rate lifted to 9.1% from 8.9%, and that's still not the peak. Their unemployment rate came down one notch to 6.6% from 6.7%, and producer prices were way higher than expected. They were up 4% month on month, and the annual rate of change in producer prices has lifted from 36% in June to 37.9% year on year in July. So these are the frightening ones. You know, we have some very, very high inflation rates ahead running for Europe and especially the UK. These all come down to, you know, largely energy prices, but it just shows the pressure that still lies ahead for the central banks to get on top of these issues. So it's a case that, in, you know, going back to June, July, we had something of a bear market rally running through markets, whether it was bonds, equities or whatever. We're returning back to the bear market. We did from about mid-August. You know, Jackson Hole was the nail in the coffin with the commentary that came through from the Fed. And for the time being, it's trying to put a peak on these official interest rates, but obviously the central banks, as they meet over the course of the next few weeks, they're all going to be delivering pretty aggressive interest rate hikes.